Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 23rd. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 14, 1 to 5. The whole community broke into loud cries and the people wept that night. All the Israelites railed against Moses and Aaron. "If only we had died in the land of Egypt," the whole community shouted at them. "Or if only we might die in this wilderness. Why is Hashem taking us to that land to fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be carried off. It would be better for us to go back to Egypt." And they said to one another, "Let us head back for Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembled congregation of the Israelites. Second Kings 4, 18 to 5, 27. The child grew up. One day he went out to his father among the reapers. Suddenly he cried to his father, "Oh, my head, my head!" He said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." He picked him up and brought him to his mother, and the child sat on her lap until noon, and he died. She took him up and laid him on the bed of the man of Hashem and left him and closed the door. Then she called to her husband, "Please, send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys so I can hurry to the man of God and come back." But he said, "Why are you going to him today? It's neither new moon nor Shabbat." She answered, "It's all right." She had the donkey saddled and said to her servant, "Urge the beast on. See that I don't slow down unless I tell you." She went on until she came to the man of Hashem on Mount Carmel. When the man of Hashem saw her from afar, he said to his servant Gehazi, "There is that Shunammite woman. Go, hurry toward her and ask her, 'How are you? How is your husband? How is the child?'" "We are well," she replied. But when she came up to the man of Hashem on the mountain, she clasped his feet. Gehazi stepped forward to push her away, but the man of Hashem said, "Let her alone, for she is in bitter distress, and Hashem has hidden it from me and has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask my Lord for a son? Didn't I say, 'Don't mislead me'?" He said to Gehazi, "Tie up your skirts, take my staff in your hand, and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer him, and place my staff on the face of the boy." But the boy's mother said, "As Hashem lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Gehazi had gone on before them and had placed the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. He turned back to meet him and told him, "The boy has not awakened." Elisha came into the house, and there was the boy laid out dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to Hashem. Then he mounted the bed and placed himself over the child. He put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on the boy's eyes, and his hands on the boy's hands as he bent over the body. And the body of the child became warm. He stepped down, walked once up and down the room, then mounted and bent over him. Thereupon the boy sneezed 7 times, and the boy opened his eyes. Elisha called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." And he called her. When she came to him, he said, "Pick up your son." She came and fell at his feet and bowed low to the ground. Then she picked up her son and left. Elisha returned to Gilgal. There was a famine in the land, and the disciples of the Nevi'im were sitting before him. He said to his servant, "Set the large pot on the fire and cook a stew for the disciples of the Nevi'im." So one of them went out into the fields to gather sprouts. He came across a wild vine and picked from its wild gourds as many as his garment would hold. Then he came back and sliced them into the pot of stew, for they did not know what they were. and they served it for the men to eat. While they were still eating of the stew, they began to cry out, "O man of God, there is death in the pot," and they could not eat it. "Fetch some flour," Elisha said. He threw it into the pot and said, "Serve it to the people and let them eat." And there was no longer anything harmful in the pot. A man from Baal Shalisha, and he brought the man of Hashem some bread of the first reaping, 20 loaves of barley bread and some fresh grain in his sack. And Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." His attendant replied, "How can I set this before 100 men?" But he said, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says Hashem, they shall eat and have some left over." So he set it before them, and when they had eaten, they had some left over, as Hashem had said. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was important to his lord and high in his favor, for through him Hashem had granted victory to Aram. But the man, though a great warrior, was a leper. Once, when the Arameans were out raiding, they carried off a young girl from the land of Israel, and she became an attendant to Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "I wish master could come before the Navi in Shomron, Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go to the king of Israel, and I will send along a letter." He set out, taking with him 10 kikarim of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. He brought the letter to the king of Israel. It read, "Now, when this letter reaches you, know that I have sent my courtier Naaman to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and cried, "Am I Hashem to deal death or give life, that this fellow writes to me to cure a man of leprosy? Just see for yourselves that he is seeking a pretext against me." When Elisha, the man of Hashem, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, and he will learn that there is a Navi in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go and bathe 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angered and walked away. "I thought," he said, "he surely would come out to me, and I would stand and invoke Hashem his God by name, and would wave his hand toward the spot and cure the affected part. Are not the Amana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? I could bathe in them and be clean." And he stalked off in a rage. But his servants came forward and spoke to him. "Sir," they said, "if the Navi told you to do something difficult, would you not do it? How much more when he has only said to you, 'Bathe and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of Hashem had bidden, and his flesh became like a little boy's, and he was clean. Returning with his entire retinue to the man of Hashem, he stood before him and exclaimed, "Now I know that there is no Hashem in the whole world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." But he replied, "As Hashem lives, whom I serve, I will not accept anything." He pressed him to accept, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Then at least let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will never again offer up burnt offerings or sacrifice to any god except Hashem. But may Hashem pardon your servant for this. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow low and worship there, and he is leaning on my arm so that I must bow low in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow low in the temple of Rimmon, may Hashem pardon your servant in this." And he said to him, "Go in peace." When he had gone some distance from him, Gehazi, the attendant of Elisha, the man of Hashem, thought, "My master has let the Aramean Naaman off without accepting what he brought. As Hashem lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi hurried after Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he alighted from his chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" "All is well," he replied. "My master has sent me to say, 2 youths, disciples of the Nevi'im, have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a kikar of silver and 2 changes of clothing." Naaman said, "Please take 2 kikarim." He urged him, and he wrapped the 2 kikarim of silver in 2 bags and gave them, along with 2 changes of clothes, to 2 of his servants, who carried them ahead of him. When Gehazi arrived at the citadel, he took the things from them and deposited them in the house. Then he dismissed the men, and they went their way. He entered and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" He replied, "Your servant has not gone anywhere." Then Elisha said to him, "Did not my spirit go along when a man got down from his chariot to meet you? Is this a time to take money in order to buy clothing and olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen and male and female slaves? Surely the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever." And as Gehazi left his presence, he was snow white with leprosy. Acts 15:1-35. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, "Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, and of the apostles and elders they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to be circumcised and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bore them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did to us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had done among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon has declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Therefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write to them, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time has in every city them preached him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day." Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own community to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas surnamed Barsabbas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner: The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings to the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare ye well. So, when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read it, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren to the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Psalm 141, 1-10. Lord, I cry unto you, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry to you. Let my prayer be set forth before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cuts and cleaves wood upon the earth. But my eyes are unto you, O God the Lord. In you is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I withal escape. Proverbs 17:23. A wicked man takes a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Acts chapter 15, and this is a really, really important chapter. A dispute, a conflict rises up between Paul and certain men in the church from Judea, namely the Pharisees. And this group of men are saying, unless you're circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So basically, they are wanting people to go back to being under the law of Moses, that somehow your salvation is based on obedience to the laws of Moses. And specifically, from Genesis chapter 15, that you must be circumcised to be saved. And so in verse 5, it says, there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now, this ancient controversy is still very much an issue even today. Because what I have found is that certain people within the Hebrew Roots movement, the Messianic Hebrew Roots movement, they tend to fall under following the law and obeying the law, and that's what gives you your salvation. But Paul aggressively pushes back, and he says, no. In verse 9, he says, there's no difference between us and them. God has purified their hearts by faith. Verse 11, Paul says, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And so it's by grace that we are saved, not by works, so that no man can boast. And yet people who go into the Hebrew Roots movement slowly over time tend to drift away from the grace of Jesus Christ, and they start following all of the laws of Moses, the food laws, wearing the tzitzit, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the feast. They're doing all these laws. And what can happen is you are following the laws of Moses in order to work out your salvation. And in fact, our salvation is based upon grace. So Paul and a contingency of men go to Jerusalem and have a meeting. They have a powwow with the Jerusalem council. And they discuss this issue. What do we do with the Gentiles who are starting to come in? They eat unclean food like pork and shellfish. They haven't been keeping the Sabbath. They're not circumcised. And it used to be in the Jewish mindset back then, if you were not circumcised and if you ate shellfish and pork, you were a pagan. You were unclean as a person. And they would not have table fellowship with you. They would not come to your home and walk in your home and have a meal with you because you were considered unclean. You're a pagan. And yet that vision that Peter had in Acts chapter 10 about the unclean animals coming down on a sheet out of heaven, God was saying, go ahead, Peter, arise, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, Lord, I've never eaten unclean food. But it wasn't about the animals or about eating. It was about people. It was about the Gentiles. The Gentiles are no longer to be considered unclean, that you can have table fellowship with them. And that the Gentiles are now coming into the kingdom. They're getting born again. They're getting filled with the Holy Spirit. God is no respecter of persons. So at this council, they make a decision. And this would be where if they wanted the Gentiles to keep the Sabbath, they could have outlined it in this order coming from the Jerusalem Council. They could have said, we want you to do these five things, and this fifth thing is we want you to keep the Sabbath and the feasts. But that's not what was included. What was included in this Jerusalem Council edict that came forth is, we write to the Gentiles that they abstain from the pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. And they figured the rest of it will make itself known to them as they continue to attend fellowship, go to church, go to synagogue. They're going to learn all the rest of the things that are in the Bible. And so in verse 24, for as much as we have heard that certain which you went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. And so what is our salvation based in? Our salvation is based in faith in Christ alone. It is not Jesus plus, and then you fill in the blank. Jesus plus, keep the law of Moses. Jesus plus, keep the feasts and the Sabbath. Jesus plus, eat only clean foods. Jesus plus, be circumcised. No, it's Jesus plus nothing. It is the grace of God that he sent his son to die on the cross, that if we believe on him and trust him as our Savior, that it's by the grace of God that we are saved. The grace of Jesus Christ is what saves us. And it's not based on any works, on following the law of Moses. So, Father, I do pray right now that this essential, vital truth would go deep into the hearts of the listeners today, that no one would be led astray with thinking that they have to keep the law of Moses in order to be saved, that our salvation is bathed in Christ alone. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please enjoy this beautiful worship song, In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all and all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. And bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands at victory, since Christ has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. The power of Christ in me, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. And no power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. He returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.